This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Time now to talk sports as we say hello to Michigan Radio Sports commentator John Eubanks. And I want to start, John, with those free agent deals the Wings signed this week with defenseman Mike Green and veteran setter Brad Richards. Ken Holland said it's a great day for the Red Wings. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And the response you got from the stars like Zetterberg and Datsyuk tell you this. Look, to win a Stanley Cup, you need the top line of hot shots. The Wings have got that. What people don't realize about this sport versus other sports is second and third line guys who play constantly. It's not like second string or third string. They don't get in. You have to have three lines of players, 15 players to play every night, usually four lines. And look back at the great Red Wings teams of the 90s, the 2000s. Maltby, Draper, these third line, fourth line grinders, as they're called, are essential because unlike basketball, look, in basketball, you, me, two other people, and LeBron James will beat most teams.
Exactly.
And I've not seen you play. In hockey, you can't do it that way. Gretzky, without the Oilers, never won a cup.
So with Mike Green, he's spent the past 10 years with Washington. He's getting a three-year deal worth $18 million. Good deal for Detroit?
And for him, of course.
But certainly.
These days, those are not salary cap busters. Yeah. So that's not too much to pay. So you're not handcuffing yourself to get somebody else.
And what is he bringing to the Wings specifically?
A right-handed shot on the power play, basically.
Which we need.
If you saw the power play. A power play, by the way, is when it's 5-on-4 for you non-hockey fans.
Yeah.
And that's when you got to score your goals.
Okay. And then we saw Brad Richards win his second Stanley Cup with the Blackhawks. He's getting 1 year worth $3 million. And I like this. He could earn another $1 million if the Wings get through two playoff rounds, which I think fans are really ready to see happen.
Red Wings fans are spoiled, flat out. And these days, if you don't get to the conference finals at least, it's probably a bad year around Detroit for most fans. This guy with two cups, that matters because you see exactly what it takes. And half the guys in the Red Wings have not gotten that far, frankly. So this is a great thing for Detroit.
And with Datsyuk's ankle surgery, it's kind of like having Richards as like a security blankie, isn't it?
Exactly right. He'll be getting plenty of ice time the first couple months.
With these signings, what does it tell you, say to you, about how other players around the NHL regard the Wings and their chance to win a Stanley Cup?
Very high. Look, I mean, let's be honest. Detroit's reputation as a city nationwide is a lot worse than it should be. We agree on that. And yet they can keep on getting first-flight, world-class talent because the Wings organization, from the Ilitches on down, Ken Holland, the GM, might be the best in hockey and might be the best in sports.
I want to talk about Lord Stanley's Cup. Sean and I were lucky enough to have had a friend give us his tickets for June 13th, 2002, Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Series against North Carolina as we watched the Red Wings win their 10th Stanley Cup. And this week, two more members of that team made it to the Hockey Hall of Fame, Nick Lidstrom, Sergei Fedorov, and they belong in the Hall of Fame because?
Because they are the two of the best players who ever played the game. That is not hyperbole. That is not an exaggeration. I was around for these guys, covering them a lot for the Detroit News, writing feature stories in the late 90s. Both, in my opinion, first-class acts. Nick Lidstrom is one of the great gentlemen of the game. He's won the Norris Trophy for the best defenseman in the league 7 times. Only one guy has won it more. His name is Bobby Orr.
Wow.
Even non-hockey fans know that name.
Yeah.
So he's as good as they come, obviously. Fedorov might be the most talented player I have ever covered. And he does not get the credit for that, of course. But he skated probably better than almost anybody. Beautiful skater, great puck handler. He went back to play defense for a few months for Scotty Bowman because the team needed that and did a great job on defense as well. That is a rare talent.
I remember all the how furious and spurned Detroit fans were when he absconded to Anaheim.
Absconded. I guess I know where you stand on this one.
Well, but it does seem things
dark
are
of night.
Things are forgiven, aren't they?
Things are forgiven. And look, he did a great job for Detroit. They won 3 cups when he played in the team, and he was an essential piece of those championship teams.
Now, quickly over to Women's World Cup soccer. First, that match between the U.S. and Germany that sent the U.S. women into the World Cup final. We saw that head-to-head collision between Morgan Bryan and Germany's Alexandra Popp. Wow. Ow. And then they fall to AstroTurf. And then they're back in a few minutes later, blood and all.
Right.
And I got to thinking about how that contrasted with what the NFL's trying to do with concussions and head collisions. And should they have been back in?
We don't know.
Yeah.
And the problem is they don't know either. So what you need is a neurologist like Michigan has for football, Dr. Kutcher, Jeff Kutcher. On this one, what you need is somebody on the side. You can't really tell from how bad a collision is what the damage is. And I can tell you from playing hockey all these years, and you can just decide for yourself how many concussions I've had. But the big hits often are not the damaging ones, and sometimes the ones you don't notice are. One problem, for example, I've learned from Dr. Kutcher is that a wet soccer ball, when you head it, can do serious damage. So the point is this, we don't know and they don't know, and that's the problem. There has to be for any collision sport, and soccer qualifies with both the headers as well as the head-to-head collisions. Mm-hmm. You need a doctor on the sidelines. Look, at that level, with that much money sloshing around these TV ratings and so on, they have no problem affording that.
And Germany's coach got a little testy when she was asked, should that player have gone back in, Alexandra Popp? And she said she was fine. Why wouldn't I send her back? But there's no neurologist on the sideline.
Have you been to Germany?
And then landing on AstroTurf.
You do as I say.
I know that there is a lot of heat aimed at FIFA for putting the women on AstroTurf for the World Cup because they don't do it to the men.
They don't. And the men would not play on it. And look, you're making money on this thing as well. FIFA is so deeply corrupt. It's magically corrupt. It's so amazingly corrupt.
As we've seen lately.
Exactly. This is such an easy fix to make. It costs you essentially nothing. And it's such an obvious thing that everyone notices. And also the game is not the same on turf either. So that's bad, bad, and bad, but not even their worst sin.
Now it'll be the USA against Japan in the World Cup final after that heartbreaking own goal in the 92nd minute by England's Laura Bassett. It was just the saddest thing to see, and that sent Japan into the final. And that's the rematch from the 2011 final that USA versus Japan that Japan won. What do you think we might see Sunday?
I think the U.S. will be motivated like never before, I swear, that they lost to Japan and still a bitter loss. The U.S. has been the dominant team in women's soccer for basically since it started 20 years ago. They have not won the World Cup since Brandi Chastain, of course, pulled off her jersey famously.
Very.
That's 16 years ago. They hear about it all the time. They are sick of hearing about it. These women on the team now were maybe 8 when that happened, and they will be one of the most determined teams you will ever see. I'd be shocked if they don't win this one.
You think we're seeing soccer fans, a.k.a. football fans,
yes,
growing
deep? As your husband would say.
The rest of the world calls it football. Are they growing deeper roots here in the U.S.? Are they drawing in new fans, or is this still a sport that just speaks to the soccer faithful?
It is definitely spreading. Women's Cup has not spread the way the Men's Cup has yet. But I will say the Men's Cup, when you walk around Ann Arbor, all the pubs are filled at 2 o'clock in the afternoon watching Italy versus Germany or Brazil versus Argentina or whatever you've got. It is definitely getting a foothold. It's slow to happen, I must say. We've been playing soccer in the U.S. in high schools for about 40 years now, and it's still not really grabbed the audience the way football has, baseball, and so on. But it is happening generation by generation. It's definitely going the right direction.
Michigan Radio Sports commentator John Eubagen. Thanks, John.
Cindy, always a pleasure.